This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Happy Monday. Today, I am super excited because I have the man that just knows everyone in the industry. I don't care what background you are. You know this guy or he knows you. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome one of my colleagues that I really respect and have a lot of love for, Dr. Howard Purcell. Dr. Purcell, how are you doing today?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that kind introduction. Let me tell you, man, you have upped your game. I remember hanging out with you when you guys first started. This is awesome. Thank you. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that you guys are continuing to do your thing and spread the word and get that message out there. And I'm honored to be part of it tonight. Thanks for having me, Daryl.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm super excited to hang out with you tonight. And just, you know, a little quick fun fact that folks may not know. Everyone knows that I love transitions. I do a lot of work with Essilor, and the main reason why is because the man that's sitting by me today, he really put me in the right position at the right time and gave me a great opportunity. And, you know, I've always been extremely thankful for that. And I just really love what you're doing in the industry to just bring everyone together.
Thank you. I got to say, man, you guys are doing a good job, Black Eye Care Perspective in particular, bringing people together. With you guys, the NOA, and some other people doing some really good work, I am confident that we're going to change things in a positive way for this profession. So good job to you guys as well.
Amen. You know, today I really wanted to bring you on the show because Dr. Purcell, man, you're hot right now. When I say you're hot, you're just buzzing. Your name is buzzing all across the industry. Because you are really out here setting an example of what all other schools should be doing and what all eye care professionals should be doing. So I found it only right to bring you on the show to really just talk about what you have going on, because you are making some waves that are really changing the game in eye care from an academia standpoint. We've already known all the stuff you've done in the past with more of the corporate entity and things of that nature, but today, I really want to just kind of dive deep into that in general. But before we get started, man, I really would love for you to just give a background of who you are, because a lot of people may not understand how unique your background is. So if you don't mind just giving us a little overview of who Dr. Howard Purcell actually is.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. I'm happy to do that. And thanks for the opportunity to do that. So dating back, you know, joined my dad's private practice, getting out of school. My dad's a NECO grad, too. I'm a second-gen alum of the college and learned a tremendous amount in the 10 years I spent with my father in private practice. It was truly amazing. And I learned a lot about the business of optometry, and that was incredibly valuable. Nova Southeastern was built during that time. And so I had the pleasure of being involved in the first class there and creating the cornea contact lens program. I was chief of cornea contact lenses there for 5 years. So that's the extent of my academic background. The next 25 years I spent in industry, about 13 and a half at Johnson & Johnson, about 10 at Essilor. Just incredible experience, met so many great people, had a chance to learn so much about our profession. And now, wow, hard to say, it's over 2 years now I've been at NECO, and it's just been incredible. And let me say, I appreciate the kind words, by the way, Daryl, but I do have to say, thanks to the good work you are doing, a lot of other people are doing, I'm really pleased and proud of what ASCO is doing as well. The group is really, at every meeting, we're talking about these issues. And I think some of that is thanks to a lot of what you guys are doing. Some of that is, you know, just at the root of what a lot of what ASCO is about, to be honest. And I think it's given a little jolt to it. But there's a lot of good things going on in a lot of the schools and colleges. We obviously want to be a big part of that. But I am proud of the ASCO team and what they've been able to do and the focus of attention. A couple of great programs as of late. And I know you've been a big part of the big HBCU program that's just incredibly successful. Recently, the Academy put on a fabulous program. I think it was the number one most attended program in the history of the Academy. Fantastic. You guys would all be really proud of that. That's incredible. And that momentum is just really fantastic. But yeah, that's my background. You know, perhaps a little bit unique, but you know, I hope that experience has put me in a good position today to be able to support the changes that I know the entire team at NEPA was looking forward to. And I think you've met Angela Abraham now. Angela's fantastic, and she's adding a great deal to her new role with the college. So I'm excited, man. Good things are happening and great support coming from the industry side, which you know we need. We've talked about this, you and I, before. It's great to set up programs. It's great to do things we need to do. But honestly, when push comes to shove, we need money. We need funding. We need people to step up. And I couldn't be any happier with how that's going so far. People are stepping up. People want to be a part of this, and people who have the resources to help us really make a difference in this. And that excites me. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to circle back to, you know, something that you mentioned, Black Eye Care Perspective. Essence Johnson is actually tuning in right now on LinkedIn. I want to give a big shout out to her because she was the moderator for Impact HBCU, which was a phenomenal event. We had over 130 students join that had interest in eye care, and a lot of them joined our pre-optometry club as well, which is huge.
May I just jump in and say, yeah, you're amazing. You did an incredible job. I already just got a message just before jumping on that we had a student contact us from that event about the scholarship. So she was amazing. And anything Essence is going to be involved in, I want to be part of it. Brought so much energy to it. And it was a great program. We all enjoyed it very much.
Absolutely. And I also want to give another shout out to Dr. Adam Ramsey, who has been very instrumental in the success of Black Eye Care Perspective, and Dr. Jacoby Cleaver, which really plays a silent role, but he's the one that's actually sitting down working with these students one-on-one. He's the director of our program over at Black Eye Care Perspective, and he's been doing some amazing things. But it looks like you're getting a lot of love here, man. We're getting love all across the board.
Thank you, everybody, for that love. They didn't have to do that. That's nice. I didn't force anybody to do that today. No, I appreciate it. I always feel love when I'm around you, man. I think it's because you're everyone's favorite optometrist.
Well, thank you. Well, let's jump into it, man. You know, one thing that I really wanted to touch on, because I'm a big fan of, in order to go somewhere, you have to have a vision. And I would love to just learn more about the vision that you guys have over at the New England College of Optometry. So if you don't mind just breaking that down, because that's really going to kind of set the vibe for tonight's podcast that we have going on.
No, thank you. You know, look, you know, when I arrived at NECO, I arrived to an environment that was very diverse, I have to tell you. And I was really impressed with that from the very beginning. But what we recognized pretty quickly was we had huge gaps. When you walked in, you felt that diversity, but if you really dug in, you saw just what we all know, that there are still areas of big opportunity for us in this profession. So, you know, we sat down prior to Mr. Floyd's murder, prior to COVID, and said, you know, what are kind of the three big pillars that we should really be focusing on? And I'm proud to tell you that the team came up with one of those pillars being the importance of diversity, inclusion, and equity at NECO. And so we wrote something. If you don't mind, I'm going to just share it with you real quick, because I think it kind of encapsulate a little bit of what we were trying to achieve. And then I'll share with you a little bit more tactfully kind of some of the things that we're doing from a tactic standpoint.
Let's hear it.
All right, good. So what we wrote was, put simply, the DNA of NECO should reflect people with diverse backgrounds, experiences, and beliefs. People from a different background should have a voice, and these voices should shape our decision-making, policies, and practices. And when members of our community look around, they should see and hear other people like them. So we wrote that as our sort of vision, as our sort of mission, if you will, in this area of how we were going to achieve the goals we had. And then coming from that, we created a 10-step process. Okay, these are the 10 things that we really believe we should be achieving. And we revisit these almost on a weekly basis. How are we doing in each of these 10? If you allow me, I just quickly could go through some of those, because I'd love to hear some of your comments and some of your listeners' comments on it. The first one was to create a new position. We didn't have a full-fledged position of diversity and inclusion. We knew we needed somebody who could focus their attention on this issue. We are thrilled to have Dr. Angela Abraham in that role. Dr. Abraham led one of our clinical environments at one of our community health centers. It happened to be a community health center that had a fairly significant volume of Black patients. So she has a really great sensitivity for that. Dr. Abraham happens to be Black herself and has gone through an HBCU, an optometry school, and just brought so much of the real world experience. And we just think she's the perfect person in this role. And she's already really proven to us that we made a great choice in putting her in that role. I'm just thrilled with what she's been able to do. And she's not doing it alone. And I want to make sure that's clear. So we really have three groups surrounding her to help support that. One is our Alliance for the Advancement and Diversity of Inclusion at NACO. And that is a group that Dr. Abraham leads. It is made up of faculty, students, and staff. Okay. And the idea there is to be our eyes and ears. As we have these big plans, how's it going in the trenches? How's it going right there when a student walks in and they're in classes or they're on Zoom these days or whatever they may be doing? How do they make sure they have a voice? And this group has been incredible. By the way, our students have been amazing. They have really taken this and run with it. They want to be a part of it. They believe it's as important as we believe it is. And obviously, without our students' support, we really wouldn't have the kind of momentum we have today. So I thank our students. Any of you who are listening, without you guys, there's no way we would have the momentum that we've built so far. And I thank all of them for it, in particular a couple, and they know who they are, who have really stepped up and made a big difference. Lisa, Nevada, you guys know who you are. You guys are incredible in the work that you've done. So thank you for that. We also put together an external group. And I want to spend a minute, if I can, Daryl, on this, because I would recommend to others that internal groups are really important and they know your own world and they're familiar with it. But we've had the fortunate opportunity to have Dr. Janet LeBrec, she was part of the Obama administration. She was Secretary of Rehabilitative Services in the Obama administration. She's also a past commissioner for the Mass Commission for the Blind and also happens to be blind and happens to be a Black individual. So she brings so much experience, as you can imagine, being in the political side of it and the connectivity that she had. So we have brought her in and she has put together this absolutely amazing group with the purpose, by the way, of saying there's been people been doing what we're trying to do for a very long time. How do we tap into some of that knowledge? It doesn't have to come from optometry. Let's go outside. So let me just give you an idea. I don't even have to mention the name, but I'll give you some of the credentials. Former IBM Chief Accessibility Officer, Vice President Equity and Inclusion, Chief Diversity Officer of the FAA, JP Morgan Chase, Head of the Office of Disability and Inclusion, Mass Commission for Blind, Director of Policy and Strategy, and finally, the first ever potential blind counselor that we'll have in the city of Boston. I mean, this is just an incredible group of people. We have our first meeting this week. I can't wait to give you an update on how that's going, but I can only imagine what we're going to be able to learn from this group. And it was a real goal we had. We never imagined, honestly, that we would get the kind of caliber of people that Dr. LeBrec's been able to bring. But she's just amazing. She is energetic. She is passionate about the subject, as you can imagine. Yeah. So much experience. And she brings that experience and know-how to us. It's just invaluable, as you can imagine. So that was sort of the third thing. The fourth was to make sure, and this was a critical one, that we provided vehicles for feedback. It's not always easy to just step up and come to the knock on the president's door or come to ask for a meeting with the president. Say, I want to tell you about this going on that. It's not always easy for everyone to do that. There are some who do, by the way, and I appreciate that, but not everybody's comfortable with that. So we created a hotline, an inbox, a website. Basically, we're going old school info box. We just created a box. You want to tell us something? Write a note on a piece of paper, stick it in that box. It's at all of our locations. And people are taking advantage of. You don't want to necessarily tell us who you are or whatever. You feel like you want it to be a little more confidential. We found it, again, it's old school, but you know what? It works. And then we have a website and a hotline. So there are three ways that at any point in time, any member of the NECO family, if you want to tell us something, you have something to report, be it great and you want us to keep doing it, or not so great and you want to bring it to our attention, we have created vehicles to do that. We've also created training, which I think is a basic component. We've got to make sure when we're onboarding people and on an annual basis, there is regular training. We are so fortunate to have Gary Chu on our team. Dr. Chu has led some of the education at ASCO and at Academy this past year. He's just an amazing asset. And Dr. Chu, Gary, is helping us tremendously in that area. The next one was public acknowledgement. And I want to spend a minute on this, and I'd love your thoughts on this, because it probably has created more feedback than any of these others. My intention, and let me be perfectly clear, because I've received some not so positive feedback on this one here and there. Hey, buddy, how's it going? So our intention was,
So this is this, you guys, this is a live stream, and this is what we have to deal with live streams. Young ones coming in, future optometrists right here.
Increasing future optometrists. The way you college of optometry, buddy. That's where you're going to go. Austin's a great place to be. anyway, you know, when you walk into NECO, we are a 125-year-old institution. And when you walk into NECO, you see these beautiful portraits on the wall. And we are very proud of our history. But all of those portraits represented white, older men. And our history is so much more diverse than that. Our history includes so many women who've contributed, people of color who've contributed. And we felt it was really important to demonstrate that diversity. Let me be clear, though, to those who have sent me some not so kind notes. We are not removing any of the portraits that we have at the college. What we wanted to do was add to it and show the diversity of the people who've contributed. Dr. Lampert, an amazing guy, graduated in the early 50s, became a senator and a house. He was first in the House, then in the Senate in Virginia. Someone we're incredibly proud of. And we want to put Dr. Lampert up on the wall too, to show that there are more than just particular individuals who've contributed to our college. We are very diverse. We have several women that we've recognized. The past president, or the current president, just outgoing president of the Academy, Barb Caffery. Barb has contributed to the college in so many different ways in the profession. We want to recognize Barb. But the feedback I got was, you know, for some reason, people started tying it to the statues that were being taken down, and that I believe these people were racists, and that's why I'm taking them off the wall. I got to tell you, my friend, I was blown away by it. People didn't even want to listen to me when I would explain it. And actually, some people, and these are people you know and that your listeners know, wouldn't even give me an opportunity, wouldn't even give me the courtesy of talking to me, told me I'm an idiot, told people we need a new president at NECO, but wouldn't even give me the opportunity to explain, at least give me a chance to tell you what I'm doing. Then if you don't like it, I'm good with it. But at least let me explain to you. And they didn't have accurate information, so it was extremely frustrating. Let me just say for the record, we believe all those portraits on the wall are great people who've contributed to the college in an amazing way. But the reality is we're more than that. We're so much more diverse. We have more women at NECO than any school in the country. How dare us not recognize the contribution that women have made to NECO? Right. We have people of color who have contributed to NECO and made it what it is today. I believe they deserve to be recognized. And I'm not going to be deterred by people who just are tying it together, something that is completely unrelated. So I hope some of those folks are listening, and now at least have a chance to explain it. Because I will tell you, any of the negative feedback, and I've gotten some negative feedback over these past few months, and you know, I don't have to tell you. I know
We're going to cover all that this evening.
All right. Let me finish real quick then, the last couple. So that before I make that point about the public acknowledgement of diversity, it's gotten the most feedback of any of them. We're going to set goals for ourselves, and Black Eye Care Perspective helped us with that. We need to have a target. We're not just saying we're going to improve. Let's set, and even if it's a lofty goal, let's set that goal and let's strive to get there. And so that was really important to us, and we really appreciate you and Adam helping us with that, and the rest of the Black Eye Care Perspective team are giving us that goal that we could set for ourselves in the future. And then finally, it was, what are the consequences of a departure from that behavior? If we see people that aren't abiding by the rules and regulations we're putting out and how we want to create this environment that's inclusive, then there needs to be some consequence. And finally, we're going to put out a biannual report to the community that says, here's how we're doing so far. I'm really proud of the team that they have really taken these 10 things to heart, and our faculty, our students, our staff are all rallying around it.
I love everything that you stated. And there's a few things that I wanted to kind of deconstruct a little bit more, but actually just, you know, give my praise to. Number one, having out of the box thinking, you know, bringing people in from outside of the industry into our industry and getting their perspective is huge. A lot of times us as eye care professionals, we only look at the immediate surrounding. We never think outside of the box. And a lot of times in order for us to grow, we have to think outside of the box. So to be able to bring those folks from IBM and those other big organizations, that makes a world of difference in regards to trying to make a change, simply because they're going to come in with a different lens and be able to see things completely differently and really make a change and impact in our industry. So I just wanted to say kudos to that, because I think that is a game changer. And I think all companies, all schools, all private practices should always look outside of the box. That way we can take patient care to the next level.
And let me just say one more time, kudos to Janet Labreck. Without her, we would have never been able to put together this incredible team. And I'm hoping the whole industry can learn from these great people. So maybe you'll have me back at some point after we've engaged with this group so that we can bring back some of the learning. This is not about being selfish about this learning. This is about, you know, optometry. You and I have talked about this before. I would love to see optometry lead the way, set the example for what we'd like to see in medicine overall and perhaps even beyond. And I think we have the capability to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. We should be at the forefront of healthcare. I mean, we are the gatekeepers into the healthcare system. So why can't we be the gatekeepers into making a change, an effective change in the healthcare system outside of just vision and just medical care? We need to change this healthcare system altogether, because at the end of the day, circling back to something that you had stated, which I wanted to give another kudos on, was that, you know, we have to mimic and reflect who we're serving. And we all know by 2050, the minority will be the new majority. So if we don't have those faces in patient care, then there is going to be a major disconnect. We're not going to be able to give our patients the ultimate eye care experience, because we want to be able to reflect who we serve.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
There's data to support what you're saying.
Oh, so absolutely.
People say, oh, really? Is it really making a difference? Dr. Chu shared with me a great piece, and I'm happy to share with you if you want to share with your listeners, that really shows you data to support this concept. And I know for a lot of people, and for most, that's important. It isn't just something you guys have been saying. This is something that's backed up with real data that supports it. And I think it's important to note that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's not all fluff over here, baby. It's facts of backing it up, you know?
We all know that already.
But the other things is that I wanted to really touch on was really the accountability piece. You know, you guys signing up for that 13% promise, but also now also hearing about the annual reports, the biannual reports that you're going to put out there. I mean, that's really putting yourself out there and holding yourself accountable instead of me, myself, Dr. Adam Ramsey, Dr. Essence Johnson, Dr. Jacoby Cleaver having to pick up the phone and say, Dr. Purcell, what's going on with these numbers, man? You said you're going to do this and you didn't do it. You're putting yourself out there in front of everyone to let them know that you mean business. And if you fail, it's really no failure, because you're actually taking the first step to this to make it happen. But you're being a leader in our industry, and I think it's huge to really hold yourself accountable, and also to have an organization like Black Eye Care Perspective hold you accountable to hit that goal of 13% by 2025. So I really, really love that piece of.
Well, I'm happy to do, but if we don't set goals and hold ourselves accountable, we're just not going to get there. We got no shot. Hard enough to get to the goals and aspire to what the bar you guys have set, which is pretty high bar, at least for us. But to do it without measures, to do it without, you know, holding yourself accountable for it, there's just no way you're going to succeed. And perhaps it's my industry background that's helped me with that a little bit, in terms of that's how we've always operated. When we ever have any kind of goal, you've got to measure, you got to hold people accountable. But I got to be honest with you, my job has been pretty easy. I have an incredible group around me that it so believes in this, that, you know, they would be even more enthusiastic on this show, believe it or not, than me. They are all about it, I tell you. And it just gives me that energy. I build and fuel on that.
Yeah. And the other piece that I wanted, it was the last piece before we jump into the next segment, was just the feedback, the hotline. I think that's huge, because we live in a world where people can just go online and just complain. And, you know, that criticism is just, you know, it's more of an emotion rather than actually sitting down, analyze what we're trying to do, what we're trying to change. People just go off of their emotion and just start speaking right away without even actually processing what is actually taking place. And I hate to see that, especially because I'm just so passionate about the eye care industry. I love all my eye care brothers and sisters out there. And I just feel like we need to sometimes sit back, analyze the data, just like we're dealing with the patient, then go in and figure out what's going to be the best way to move forward with making a comment. And that's something that we have been lacking to do. I mean, some of us are great with it, and some of us are just, you know, whatever's on your mind, top of mind at that moment, they fire away. But I love that you have that hotline. That way you can see the feedback. You have the analytics. You can understand the data. You can see what people are thinking, and that can make you guys better. And also it can give more information for other colleges that may want to step up and do the same thing. That way you can just have basically the blueprint to say, here, this is what we did, and this is what you need to do. You may need to add your own little flavor to it, but at least it helped us get us in the right direction and meet that 13%.
Yeah, couldn't say it, said it better myself. I mean, that's the intent. And we want to, you know, be able to share what we learn. And I hope other institutions who are doing good things there, they'll share the things that they're learning as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one other thing that I wanted to touch on this evening is a very hot topic. $440,000. Woo, man, that's a lot of money. It got a lot of people upset and a lot of people happy.
You're right about that, my friend.
Let's really touch on this. Now, for those that may be unaware of this amount of money that I'm touching on, this is something known as the Warby Parker Scholarship that was gifted to the New England College of Optometry. And who else, who else would we need on this show other than Dr. Howard Purcell to really break it down? So if you could just kind of deconstruct what this scholarship is all about, how long it's for, that way people can truly understand, because this is going back to what I just said a couple minutes ago. Some folks saw this online on different forums and they just went crazy saying they were going to email you, call you personally, show up to your house, call everyone you know, and all types of crazy stuff, right? And I saw some people that just was like, man, this is great. This is huge. This is a game changer. You're putting your money where your mouth is at. And I just would like for you to just give us an overview of what's going on. How did this take place so that we can basically shut up all the haters out there and bring just more education to the topic?
Yeah, I don't know that we'll shut up the haters, but I'll certainly give you the facts. I was there. I had a seat at the table, so I can tell you what happened. What happened was, and I've been saying this for a while, as some of my colleagues have, in order to achieve the great goals that we have all set here, we need the help of the industry. It's just no question about it. So we went out to the industry, all the partners that we have who've supported us along the way, supported our students along the way, and said, this is something that's really important to us. And the first group to step up is my old friend from Warby Parker, Neil Blumenthal. Now, I do have to say, I've known Neil since before he started Warby. Neil is an incredibly philanthropic guy. I knew him from his time at Vision Spring, which is an amazing group that does great things all over the world. Just absolutely terrific. And I happened to go to El Salvador with them to see in action what they were doing of bringing eye care and eyewear to people who otherwise would not have it. Jordan Casolo, another NECO alum, is the one really the brains behind it. But that's where I first met Neil. So to understand Neil a little bit more, you have to understand he comes from philanthropy. That's what he's about. It's so much about the importance to him. So Neil and I have been having conversations through the years. He was at Harvard speaking one year, and he said, by the way, if you'd like, I'll come over to NECO and speak to the students there. Wow, that would be interesting. So I did what any president's going to do in that case. I went to student council, and I said, hey, what do you guys think? Would you be interested? And it was overwhelmingly, absolutely, yes, we would be thrilled. So we brought Neil to the college. We could not have put another person in the room. I mean, literally people are sitting in the stairwell pre-COVID, I will just and you know what was so clear, and then I'll get to the scholarship, I promise, but I think this is relevant to the emotions people are feeling. What became incredibly clear was, number one, he's incredibly philanthropic. They had, at that point, had given away their 5 millionth pair of glasses. They work with this New York school systems, the Boston school systems, just doing some wonderful work, right? So that was totally clear. He is so smart when it comes to the business side and really created a model that clearly has been successful. They were just, you know, recently, we just learned recently that they were valued at about a $3 billion business right at this point. So he's doing some things that are addressing a need in the market. There's no question. What also was clear, though, we didn't have a great understanding of optometry. And so we had a great dialogue. The students asked fantastic questions. And post that, Neil was asking a lot of questions. He hired Pratil Lau, who's an amazing guy who's running the optometry side. And they are putting full exam lanes right now already in 50% of their offices, soon to be more of them. So what they've done is they've moved away from investing in this online refraction. They still have it. I acknowledge that. But their investments have been now in building full exam lanes, doing comprehensive eye exams. If you think 10 years ago when Warby Parker started, to even have imagined they would have been doing that would have been beyond anybody's realm of imagination. But through Jordan's influence, through the smarts that Neil has, through the people he's surrounding himself with, and I hope even from a little bit from NECO, he has recognized that's a better way to go. We have a seat at the table. We have a chance to influence and talk to him. The opposite could have been, you know what, Neil, I don't like what you're doing. Get out of here. I don't even want to talk to you. That's not the way we're going to make progress. So for colleagues who have really beat me down over this, and it was, let me just say, backing up, I got 250 positive messages when this happened. I got 4 maybe nasty grams, you know, I'll never donate another dollar to the college, or, you know, how dare I do such a terrible thing, which I couldn't really understand what the terrible thing was. But there are people who are emotional. You know, we live in a very partisan world at the moment, and there are people who are very scattered, and they bring the politics into this. But bottom line was, so much more positive than negative. And I want to say one more thing. I did read every single comment that was made on ODs on Facebook. You know, Alan Glazer's an alum of NECO. I love him. He's been incredible guy. He's now on our board. He's an incredible guy. And I love what he's done with ODs on Facebook to provide a vehicle where we can all share how we feel. I support right. that 100%. The only thing in my heart I felt a little bad about is my students and my faculty and some of my friends were on there trying to defend us. And I appreciate it, but I felt bad about it, that they were put in that position. On the other side, it did make me smile a little bit to see them stepping up, because my constituency is our students, buddy. I mean, that's who I answer to in the end, and right. they are all about it and think it's great. Bottom line, to address your question, though, I promise I'll get to that part. So this is a four-year full tuition scholarship for two Black students. I mean, this is amazing. We are going to go to Harvard undergrad and recruit there. We're going to go to HBCUs and recruit there. We're going to go to those students who thought maybe medical school was where they wanted to go. We're going to show them why optometry school is an incredible choice. We are going to get amazing students like NECO always does. We have an incredible admissions team who continues to bring us amazing students. But we are going to get the best of the best to take advantage of this opportunity. And I hope more industry partners will step up and do this, because the overarching message has been positive about this. I get it that not everybody likes Warby, but look at how they've adapted and changed. And keep that in mind when you choose to either say, get out of here, I don't want to talk to you, or, you know what, let's sit at a table. Let's find common ground. Let's see how we can progress. Two Black students would not benefit from that scholarship at NECO had we not done that. I am absolutely convinced of it. And I salute, yes, my friend. People have been critical of me calling Neil my friend. He is my friend. We don't always agree with everything our friends do, but he is my friend, and he has been incredibly generous and stepped up and really put his money where his mouth is, not only just on our scholarship, but look at what else Warby's doing. I give him a lot of credit for it. And by the way, let me add, there are other great companies in our industry doing really good things as well. I love what Lux is doing. I love what HEA is doing. I love what my eye doctor is doing. I mean, so yeah. many groups out there doing great things. So I don't want to suggest Warby's the only one, but I love it that they put their money up there. They did what we think is critically important. And if people are going to be upset with it, then I welcome it. Last thing I want to tell you is, a lot of people said, I'm going to be waiting at his door. I'm going to call him. And for all the people who contacted me, I said, anytime, I am happy to talk to you. One person called me, Steve Montequilla. I'll put it out there because he's awesome. He gave me a chance to talk to him. We talked to each other. I'm not sure I made him do a 180, but he at least listened and gave me a chance to explain to him where I was coming from. I love you for that, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, that's huge, man. I wanted to two pieces I wanted to circle back on. Number one, the scholarship, 4 years, two Black students. The $1 million question is, what happens after the 4 years? Is the more money or what? Because I mean, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, some folks are going to say, hey, is this just checking off the box and we get through this? Or is there going to be more money, more students, Black, Asian, Hispanic? I mean, what's going to happen down the road? Give us some more information in regards to that.
That's a good question, Daryl. So, you know, let me say this. The agreement we have with Warby is a 5-year agreement. So if you think about that, well, it's 4 years in optometry school. They're already indicating that this is something where they want to continue. So what we said together was, in 2 years, let's take a look. Let's see how things are going. They are interested in continuing with this, and I hope even expanding it. Wouldn't it be nice to get four? And by the way, you know, one interesting thought we had was, and I'd be curious of what your initial reaction to this was, they didn't, and I want to make this clear, they dictate nothing about how we use the money, how we address these students. There is no quid pro quo, because this has come up a few times too. Oh, there's got to be, and this and that. I'm looking you in the eye, my friend, and you know I respect you 100%. There is nothing here other than them giving us some money. So we had the ability to say, how about if we did 4 scholarships and make it a half scholarship instead of a full? But honestly, in the end, and we left this decision up to our admissions group, in the end, we felt like this would be such a powerful message to offer 2 full ride, full tuition scholarships. Let's start there. We'll see how it goes. 4 years from now, if they're willing to put up the same amount of money, perhaps more, maybe then we do decide, could we spread it out over more students? But initially, we just felt like what a powerful statement it could be to tell two Black students, you're not going to have to worry about your tuition for optometry school. Come and make a contribution to this profession. And the reaction we've gotten will speak to, pardon me, the reaction we've gotten will speak to, it is something that I will tell you, I'm getting calls pretty regularly from people who just want to know more. Our admissions group is getting calls. It's really done what we hoped it would do. And it was get people's attention, not even so much about the scholarship, which is great, but about optometry right. and the opportunities in optometry.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, when I hear that, I just think game changer and a blessing. You know, it's just one of those things that we have to realize we have people that are stepping up to the plate. And if you're not doing anything, don't talk about anything. You know, like, what are you going to do to help propel our profession to be better and make it more diverse? I also wanted to circle back on something else. And you and I, we've had long conversations, great dialogue about the importance of, you know, students having exposure to various employers or private practices. And I had the opportunity to hang out with you and sign a declaration for the Industry Collaborative back in, when was that, February. And one thing that really resonated with me was your interests and your concern about students not being exposed to the employers when they get out of school. Like, how can you go to school for 4 years and not really have much exposure to all the different outfits that are out there outside of just the externships? So I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit, because with my background being with My Eye Doctor, which I'm going to say is the leading eye care provider in the whole entire United States and the entire world. Shout out to My Eye Doctor.
Well, I'll tell you what, artists, those guys,
they're doing an incredible job, man. And we're really changing the game. We got a lot of good things coming up, and the industry should watch out, because we're really going to make a big splash. But I would really like for you just to kind of, you know, touch on that a little bit, because I think that's a piece that schools don't realize, that, you know, students need exposure earlier than just a club meeting or, you know, an externship. They really need to be exposed to this stuff. That way they can understand the business of optometry, but also be exposed to the different modalities of what optometry is.
Yeah. And you know, it was really surprising to me when I first came on board at NECO, because in any other academic program, people who are coming to hire your graduates, you will do everything possible to make sure they can get to your students. And I found a little odd, and I can only speak to NECO. I think, and now as I've spoken, a lot of the schools, and I want to be clear, have changed their policies through the years. Not all, but most have. And I will also acknowledge some of the big universities have to follow policies that their university has. We have the wonderful opportunity that the buck stops right here. If we want to make a decision, we want to make a change, we can make that change. But I want to just recognize others don't always have quite that flexibility. But that said, it is a critically important issue that we need to address in terms of making sure that people who want to hire our graduates have access. But there is inequity there. And let me explain to you where that inequity exists. And this is what we have to address. If you're a My Eye Doctor, and I love my friends at My Eye Doctor, if you're other big groups, in the pre-COVID world, you could create a nice big dinner, take them to a nice steakhouse, invite them to come. Because at our institution, if you're going to do that, it has to be off campus. Now, we're revisiting that, but that had been the policy up to this point. But imagine yourself as a private practitioner now, and you want to come and recruit maybe one or two of the students. It's so much harder for you to do that. So we have to create ways where not only the big guns like yourself, and My Eye Doctor's lucky to have you, my friend, but not only the big guns can come in and spend some time with our students, but someone who's hiring one or two people could have a vehicle. So we want to make sure everybody has a chance. Our students should, we have to trust that our students are smart people. They're going to ask great questions. By the way, the example I gave you with Neil, they asked him great questions. I was... You know, no inhibitions at all. Hey, tell me about this. I heard about that, and I love it. And it makes me smile to see that. But anyway, we have to make it easier for these groups to come in and engage with our students. That doesn't mean they're coming in and influencing our curriculum. That doesn't mean they're coming in and you know, offering some quid pro quo here. It means letting them know their options. Now, I have, and I want to be honest with you and tell you, I've had a couple of senior colleagues, alums who come in and say, I don't think you should be exposing them to anything but private practice. You know what? In a perfect world, Daryl, you know, that would be lovely. It's just not realistic today. You know, and I love the work that people like your group are doing and Vision Source is doing and iDoc is doing where they aggregate practices. It's wonderful. And I hope that will continue. So anybody who wants to be in a so-called private practice, which, by the way, I'm throwing it at you, define for me what private practice is. I think we still have to figure that out. What is practice today versus kind of what it was in the past? But I want everyone to have the opportunity to practice the way they want to. But what we have to understand is different people want to practice differently, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be so negative, my humble opinion, about someone choosing a different path for themselves. That's one of the wonderful things about optometry. No two of us practice it the same. And right. That's me, what makes it so incredibly exciting. So we have to do a better job there, but I want it to be equitable. I want our small private practices to have the same opportunity. So we've created a private practice opportunity where multiple private practices can come in and they can demonstrate what their opportunities are. I see Essence's comment too. All of the options that we have available, community health centers. NECO has been involved in the community health centers since the early 70s. I see it as one of the real strengths of our institution, to be honest with you, because our students, not only pretty much everything they see that they're learning in the classroom, they're going to see at a community health center. But equally as important, Daryl,
yeah,
I believe our students leave with this sense of giving back and the importance of giving back. Because, by the way, if we weren't in those community health centers, many of those people would not be cared for. So I just love that. I really love that, you know, they get that sense when they leave. And to me, that's so critical to our future. All of you, and I see you do it. I see Adam does it. I see other people doing it. You guys give back. You see how great optometry has been to you, and you understand the importance of giving back. I'd like to think our students see that too. And so we want to make sure they're exposed to all the options. And I know not everybody agrees with that, but as long as I'm in charge at NECO, that's how it's going to be.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Well, you know, I don't want to hold you up. I could talk to you all day, man.
I always enjoy it, Daryl. Thank everybody for the really nice comments. I saw Jeff Sonsino there. Jeff's been amazing. He's an alum at NECO. Thank you, Jeff, for continuing to support the things we're doing. When Jeff speaks up, a lot of people listen, and I really appreciate his support. So thank you, buddy. I see you out there.
Yeah, he's doing some great things in the eye care industry, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else he's going to pull out his bag of tricks next.
Right.
So check it out, man. You know, you have a big voice in eye care. I mean, it's no doubt you're a leader. I mean, just the things that you've done at New England College of Optometry and with your background of being industry and academia, you know, you have a lot of connections. You've seen a lot. And you bring a different dynamic.
Are you saying I'm old? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, you said it, man. But hey, yeah, we can rock with that.
That's all right. I'll accept it. I feel young. I'm doing okay. I feel good.
But what I would love to end the show with is just you really, you know, having a call to action to all the other schools and universities out there, because I feel like, you know, with your unique background and the leadership that you've demonstrated, you know, the schools need to follow lead or at least take something from the blueprint that you have created. So if you don't mind just maybe leaving a message in regards to, you know, what we can do as a school, as a university, as a industry to really just make optometry better. You know, it's not just a diversity piece. It's, you know, accepting change, whether it's some type of technology that's out there. You know, I just want you to leave us with some words of wisdom that can really impact the industry and really change the eye care industry and schools in particular altogether.
Well, that's a tall task, my friend.
Hey, man. When I have the man on the platform, I got to utilize every opportunity.
Well, thank you. So here's what I'm going to say about that. First of all, our current president of ASCO, John Flanagan, is a huge believer. John has been all in on this. John and I have had many conversations. Carla Zadnick, a key influencer in the ASCO organization, all about this. She is all in. So you've got, and there are many others. I'm just mentioning those as examples. I want you to know you have big advocates at ASCO who really want to see optometry continue to grow and progress and see this as a critical component to the long-term success of our profession. So I want people to feel good about that. You know, academia takes some hits here and there. You're not doing enough. You're not preparing them for the business side. And you know what? By the way, when I was on the outside, I probably made some of those same critiques. Now that I'm on the inside, I see the passion, the will, the desire. They really want to do this. But with all due respect to my wonderful colleagues in academia, Many of them have spent their entire careers in academia. So what it really gets back to, Daryl, my friend, your favorite optometrist, we've got to go outside a little bit. We got to learn from others. That's why I can't wait to see the outcome. It's just one example of many, but I can't wait to see the outcome of this alliance that's been put together by Janet to see what can we learn. Let's not just think that everything can be solved right within our little world. Let's be willing to go beyond. Let's keep an open mind. And lastly, I'll just say this. Let's talk to each other. If we don't agree with something, let's have a dialogue to say, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm so frustrated I can't talk to you. All right, you know what? Take a break. I'll talk to you in a week. Nothing. Let's talk. Come on. We need to, let's get back to the days where we could talk to each other. Even if we didn't agree, we could sit down and talk and at least understand where we're coming from. To me, that's the progress we're going to need to make. And I see a lot of it happening. And I really salute people like yourself, the NOA, and these great groups out there who really have made this their mission to do. We need that so bad in this profession. And with that, we can turn the corner. We can make a difference that will be in the best interest for everybody. So to me, it's about let's go outside a little bit and welcome people in to help us who've been doing this for so much longer than we have. And let's support internally the efforts of groups like yourself. I mean, this isn't a competition between Black Eye Care Perspective and NOA. This is all of us together making progress. Cheryl Reynolds was a student of mine. I love Cheryl. I've known her since she was a first year optometry student. And she showed that leadership, by the way, in her first year. I remember that vividly. Together, we can do so much more. And I know it's become a bit of a cliche, but I'm not going to step off it. We can, we will. And I salute you guys for bringing it to the forefront. And anytime you want me to do anything, to come forward, tell our story, talk about what we're doing, be side by side with you, man, I am willing to do that anytime, any place.
Oh, man, I greatly appreciate that. And I greatly appreciate you just hanging out with me. Industry, you're listening. We need money, as Dr. Howard Purcell stated. I mean, this is something that is needed to make change. There's no doubt about it. So, all these big partners out there, let's step it up. Let's throw some money at this. Let's have the backing. Let's make it take place. I mean, let's think about your eyes campaign. Look at all the money that went into that. Why not put that money into the industry to make it more diverse, right? Why not make it better for the students? Let's make something like that happen. And if you need someone to help orchestrate that, talk to me. Talk to Dr. Adam Ramsey. Talk to Dr. Howard Purcell, Dr. Essence Johnson, Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. We all care about just creating a more diverse platform and landscape in optometry. We are willing to sit down and make it happen. We have the connections. We have the drive. We have the passion. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call.
And can I add one thing, Daryl? I've been to a lot of events even prior to all this. I used to try to sit on as many of the events as I could. And we have our friends at those events. Yeah. But I'll challenge you a little bit because you challenge me on a daily basis. I'm going to throw one back at you. Let's have some dialogue with people who don't agree with us. Let's sit down and open that up. Let's talk to some people who are willing. Not everybody is, but there are some who would. There are different perspectives on this. Let's listen to that. Yeah. We want to be clear that I think, and I'm speaking for you, but we want to be clear that we want to hear that. Let's have the open dialogue. It's the only way we're going to make progress. So I encourage folks like you to not only bring people like me, who obviously believe in what you're talking about, and there's a lot of those, but let's talk to those who aren't believing it as much, and let's understand where they're coming from and help them understand where we're coming from. I think that could be a huge positive for our industry, and very few people do that, and I think this would be a wonderful show of solidarity within our group. We all want to see, none of the people, even the people who have called me some really nasty things, none of them want anything but to see optometry be great and succeed and grow and develop. They all want that. Given we all want the same thing, let's sit together and figure out how we get there.
Amen, my brother. Pastor Dr. Howard Purcell over there preaching to y'all this evening.
I didn't mean to be preaching. I'm sorry, but times just come out of me that way.
Well, again, thank you so much, man, for hanging out with me. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover and Dr. Howard Purcell. We look forward to hanging out with you on the next episode. You guys have a great one. Stay healthy, stay positive, and stay blessed. Have a great one. Talk to you guys later. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is @DFocusMedia on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.